Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
We're going to talk to Jay Pepler in 20 seconds. Just again, the news that we broke in the 7 o'clock hour. I put something on Twitter yesterday, and I expect an announcement today, from the mayor's office that they will indeed allow a percentage of fans in at both Wrigley Field and Guaranteed Rate Field for opening day.
Well, it's a story that you've been working on for the last few weeks or so. This is not new, because you were the first to bring this up, Cap, that there's a great possibility to see fans, and hopefully that'll come to fruition. Is this that first sign of normalcy to be able to have fans in the stands at Guaranteed Rate at Wrigley Field? Mm-hmm. Again, we'll find out the percentages from Mayor Lightfoot very soon, but, you know, with the weather turning and people getting vaccinated and masks being something that is so important for COVID-19, more and more people start coming into the ball games. That makes it feel like how we normally go through our lives in the spring and summer, going to baseball games.
Yep, looking forward to that. All right, it is International Women's Day, and when Danny said, we should put somebody really awesome on for International Women's Day, how about Shay Pepler? She is awesome. She was our teammate here, and now she lives in Connecticut. I actually had dinner with her husband, Jordan Cornette, the other day. Had a great time when I was out there. But Shay is killing it on the NFL channel, talking a whole bunch of football. She and Jordan do an ESPN show together, and she joins us right now. Hi, Shay. How are you?
Good morning to some of my favorite people in Chicago. I'm doing great, Cap. How are you?
Very good. We miss you desperately. It was great to see your husband the other day. But you and I have talked on the phone recently. Football, do you fully expect the Chicago Bears are going to make a splash at the quarterback position?
What I expect and what I hope are probably two different things. I would expect and hope that they do make a splash. I mean, it's now or never. I mean, I'm not saying anything new to your listeners for Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. Like, this needs to be the year. And when you have a guy like Russell Wilson going out and his agent is saying, you know, Chicago's a place I'd like to go, I would assume that makes everyone's ears perk up at Hallis Hall. And throw whatever you can. I know it's probably going to take, you know, a couple first and second round picks here for the next 3 years. We've seen the same kind of deal with Khalil Mack. And then you probably have to give up a guy like Jalen Johnson, maybe, or Roquan Smith, an anchor of that defense. But yet still, to have a quarterback that's capable in Chicago, I mean, my whole life, and I can only imagine, like, for you, Cap, my whole life, Chicago football DNA has been strong defense, shaky quarterback play, run the football. And this year, strong defense, usually, most of the time, shaky quarterback play continued, and running the football has now even become a little bit of a problem. So, to me, it's now or never for Chicago, for the Bears, for Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, and man, do I hope they make a splash. Deshaun Watson, I think, is going to be a little tricky, especially with the way the Houston Texans are dealing with him. I've spoken to so many insiders on the NFL channel. I don't know that they're moving him before the draft, and then it really doesn't make a lot of sense. So I think it's Russell Wilson or bust.
So, Shay, what is the best course of action for the Bears? If Watson and Wilson, as you mentioned, more than likely won't be available for the Bears, then what should they do?
So in terms of what they should do is they should literally say, what do you want? We'll try and get creative, and we'll do whatever we can to get them. The problem is the cap hit this year for a lot of different teams. Like, the cap is going to be lowered to around $180, $181 million. And actually, we could find out today what the actual cap floor is going to be, because the franchise tag deadline is tomorrow. So hopefully we'll hear about that in the next couple hours. But that's the biggest problem. What I don't want to see, and I know you're asking me the opposite, what I don't want to see is Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy go out in the draft and make a splash in the draft. Try and trade up from the 20th pick, move around, because there's, what, four or five good quarterbacks in the top 10 picks. I don't want to see them move from 20 to 6 or 20 to 9 and then try and reinvent the wheel with a young quarterback. That's not what I want to see. I don't need another Mitch Trubisky experiment, okay? What I would like to see is them to figure out a way to let the Seahawks take that large cap hit. We've already seen the Eagles do it, and trade away their quarterback in Russell Wilson and have him become a Chicago Bear, and or somehow convince Nick Caserio in Houston to figure out a way to trade Deshaun Watson. I don't know if they can do it, but hey, if you're ever going to have negotiating power, this year is the year you got to figure it out.
But Shea, we're talking to Shea Pepler, who works for ESPN, and you hear on the NFL channel on Sirius. But when you say don't trade up in the draft, Matt Nagy was instrumental, along with Brett Veach, who is his best friend, and it was his teammate, who's the GM in Kansas City, at determining how we go from 27 to 10 and we get one of the five best quarterbacks potentially to ever play the sport. So what if he says to Ryan, hey, man, that's the guy, and we can get him at whatever, 9. Make the move. That is the guy. You don't want to do that?
Who are you going to get at 9? Mac Jones out of Alabama? Sure.
Whoever it is. I don't care if it's Jeff Mellor. If he determines that's the guy, this is the same guy who said, yeah, Deshaun, fine. No on Trubisky. Go get Patrick Mahomes. They listened, they did it, and they were right. So if he says they're, what if he says the dude is in this draft?
Sure, but the problem with Matt Nagy, and I love Matt Nagy. I just want to preface everything I'm saying. I love Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace as human beings. The problem with this is Nagy is married to Ryan Pace, and Ryan Pace has already stubbed his toe with Mitch Trubisky and going to get him in the draft and doing the exact same thing. They passed on Deshaun Watson and on Patrick Mahomes. Sorry you weren't here for it, but that's just the reality of the situation. Trading up in the draft is probably the best thing the Bears can do financially and probably the most realistic thing they can do financially without giving up everything that they've got, especially on the defensive side or at least a key playmaker. But if you're a Bears fan, and I doubt anyone listening would be satisfied with that. And also, if you're moving up to 9, the best quarterback you can get, and I think this is being generous, is Mac Jones. And quite frankly, I think Mac Jones is great, but outside of Trevor Lawrence, I don't know that there's a make or break quarterback in this draft. I've watched a lot of college football. I've read a lot of scouting reports. I've had a lot of different draft analysts on my multiple radio shows that I do. And outside of Trevor Lawrence, are you really having a franchise quarterback step in, can start right away, because that's important for Chicago. We don't want to see another Nick Foles statue standing out there for the first 3 games of the season. They're going to have to start right away. Like, that's not going to happen unless you have Trevor Lawrence. So I don't want to see another Mitch Trubisky experiment moving up in the draft. No, that's not what I want to see.
Shea, if Nick Foles is the quarterback day one, opening the season for 2021, are the Bears better or worse with him as a starter?
Worse. Well, better or worse than last year?
Yeah.
I would say, that's hard. I would say it's probably the same. I mean, they're the same. You could pick and choose if they're going to win or it's going to come down to the last minute of the game or whatever it is, but I wouldn't shoo them in to win. I don't care who they're playing. Nick Foles, while he's a very respected veteran quarterback, who I think is good in a quarterback room and can be good coming off the bench, as we all say, right, as a reliever, he's not a starting quarterback in this league. We've seen it in Jacksonville. We've now seen it in Chicago. And he's not fit to run Nagy's system. He's not mobile enough. He can't make decisions on the fly. He can't get out of the pocket quick enough, and he can't make decisions fast enough. And quite frankly, if they don't figure out a deal with Allen Robinson in the next 24 hours, who the heck is he even throwing it to? So yes, Nick Foles obviously is going to stay because he's under contract there and he's going to hopefully be a veteran leader in the quarterback room. But if he's your starting quarterback week one, the Bears are in a lot of trouble. And I'm actually going to say they're probably worse.
Yeah, and I won't disagree with you. My point is in the draft, we can all say that there's no one other than Trevor Lawrence that we go, oh my God, he steps in and plays right away. But nobody was saying that about Patrick Mahomes either. There's a reason he slid all the way to 10, and you had multiple quarterback needy teams all pass on him. My point is, if Matt Nagy, who did those evaluations, if he truly says, Ryan, I have worked them all out, I have interviewed them all, I've had dinner with them all, that's the guy. I don't care who that guy is. That guy could literally be playing at a Division III school. If he truly believes that's the guy, George and Ted have said, Ryan and Matt are our football guys, then you have to let the football guys do their job. And at the end of next year, if it hasn't worked, then fire them.
Okay, two things. One, they don't have that kind of time, okay? Patrick Mahomes didn't step in and start in right away. They don't have that kind of time to let this quarterback that they would move up to draft, sit around, watch, wait, learn, experience the NFL, figure out how to read an NFL defense, figure out how to be a quarterback in the NFL. These two simply don't have that time. And I hate to say it, but that's just the truth. And two, Patrick Mahomes is an anomaly. Like, that rarely, rarely happens that you go out and draft the MVP of the league and the best quarterback that we're probably going to see in the next decade. Like, that rarely happens. So while I agree with you, I would love to put all my faith and trust in Nagy and his scouting and talent evaluation. And while I wish that would be the case, because, again, it would save them money and they wouldn't have to give up assets, especially on the defensive side of the ball, which, again, is part of the football DNA in Chicago, to me, it's not an experiment that I would want to toy with. And I'd be like, look, let's figure out a way not to be cheap here and give whatever we can, even if that means we're mortgaging our future for a quarterback that we know is going to propel our team to the next level next year. It's the only option you got.
Shay, on this International Women's Day, could you tell us some women in our field that you respect?
Oh, my God, there's so many. I guess I could start in, like, the Chicago area. I actually had a really long conversation over the weekend with Layla Rahimi. I know she's up the dial, and she's been on multiple different TV stations there, but I chatted with her this weekend. I'm really close with Lauren Jarrah, who works over at WGN. Sarah Spain and I have become really close now working at ESPN and obviously getting to know her through the different Chicago variations and channels there. Sarah Kustak is a Chicago girl, and now she's out on the East Coast, so her and I have had multiple conversations and exchanged Chicago stories. Actually, we were texting over the weekend about the Knicks and Coach Thibodeau, and I'm like, God, how life has changed. We went from talking about the Bulls to the Knicks, but still Coach Thibodeau and Derrick Rose. It's crazy. There are so many ladies that I respect in this field and that I love. I love watching Al Duncan on ESPN. I think she's fantastic, and I'm just like, I'm so thrilled to be part of this, I guess, sorority of ladies that work in sports and in media. And honestly, it's a really good place to work, because I feel like everyone kind of gets it, and we all try and lift each other up and support one another and watch one another and learn from one another and pick each other's brains. And I'm just grateful to be part of the Chicago ladies that represent there. And also, you know, now in my new kind of ESPN family here, it's great. It's great.
Yeah, Shay, we miss you. It was great to see your husband the other night, but we miss having you here as one of our teammates, because it's always a lot of fun.
I know. I miss arguing with you guys, too. Thank you for getting my husband out of the house. Gave me a little bit of quality time. I'm just kidding. But I miss you guys tremendously. Thanks for catching up. We'll see what these Bears do in the draft, and you know I'll be sending you hate texts, whatever way it goes.
All the time. Or keep FaceTiming, right?
Exactly.
All right.
FaceTime.
You got it. Have a great day.
Bye, guys.
All right, we'll see you. There she is, Shay Pepler, who, by the way, is going to be a mother coming up here in a couple months. How about that?
Absolutely.
Very cool.
So cool, man. She didn't even call me Jordan once.
Not one time.
How about that?
All right. Dan Orlovsky on how Russell Wilson would fit in Matt Nagy's system. You want to hear this. Dan is a quarterback guru. How does he think, if the Bears could pull off this trade, it would actually work? That is next.
Take that.
Listening to Cap and Jay Hood at home is easier than setting your coffee maker.
This picture of domestic happiness is missing something.
Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
What a way to start the day.
Cap and Jay Hood.
On Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
There's so much reporting going on about Russell Wilson.
Russ. You were saying about Russell?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
So there's one article about how they could wait till they could agree to the trade now, but not announce the official trade till after June 1, and it would change the structure of the amount of money he's due, who pays it, the cap hits, all of it.
Yep.
And the big question is, he's a really good quarterback. Really good. And you go back to, through our lifetime as Bears fans, Eric Kramer had a one-off, a good year. Jay was not what he was advertised to be. Jim McMahon could never stay healthy.
Jim Miller had a one-off.
A one-off. Rex Grossman was wildly overrated. And it just never worked. He'd moved heaven and earth to get Mitch, thinking he was the guy. Didn't work. Got Nick Foles. Didn't work. So you go back, it's all the way to Sid freaking Luckman. Sid Luckman. So you think, it's Russell Wilson, man. Figure it out. Make it work. Well, here's Dan Orlovsky, who is really, really astute because he played like 12 years as a backup, albeit, but he knows quarterback play. This is Dan Orlovsky this morning with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. The Bears should pull out all the stops for Russell Wilson.
If they don't pull this move off, if they don't get Russell Wilson, or maybe Deshaun Watson, but Russell Wilson, their biggest question to be answered is, where are we going to work in 2022? If you're Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace. That's the likelihood, is if they don't get Russell, they're looking for jobs next year. Now, it's going to cost a lot to get him, right? That's why it's whatever is needed. It's going to cost a lot to get him. But then if you get him, you have to answer the question of, how are we going to build our roster without our next three or four first-round picks? What question do you want to answer? That's the biggest the takeaway for me is, what question does Chicago and their two leaders want to answer? Where are we going to work, or how are we going to build our football team without those picks? And when it comes to Russell, it's starting to remind me of the Carson Wentz situation in Philadelphia in regards to the silence from Carson Wentz spoke volumes. And we're in the time frame of being the easiest time ever to make a comment or a statement, a post on Twitter, a post on Instagram, some form of social media post. Russell Wilson hasn't said a single thing to refute anything coming out of Seattle, to refute any of the claims, to refute the desire to be traded. It would be so easy as just to make a simple social media post, and he hasn't done that. That, to me, speaks volumes. That, to me, says, I want out, and I want out now.
So understand, if you are George McCaskey or Ted Phillips, and you got your football guys in place that you believe in, and Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. Now, you heard what Ted had to say about the quarterback situation. Remember this, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what he said?
Ted had this to say about the – I don't think I have that. Yes, I do.
Have we gotten the quarterback situation completely right? No. Have we won enough games? No. Everything else is there?
Well, no. I mean, there it is. So this year, they expect change for the better, right?
Big time.
Thanks. Oh, okay.
Ryan and Matt are our football guys.
That might be the case there, George. I have a letter here. No, but the whole point is, though, Cap, is that, you know, because you want change, if the change is not Russell Wilson, if it's not Watson, if it's not an upper echelon quarterback, and you come hat in hand, actual hat in hand, and say, yeah, we changed. We got rid of Trubisky, but, you know, here's someone that's kind of in the middle of the road. Here's Ryan Fitzpatrick, or here's Teddy Bridgewater.
Well, Mariota. That's
not real change, right?
Correct.
And so when you fall on your ass after making that choice, then those two should be fired. So here's a different scenario that we have not painted. So because Russell Wilson, as the professor John Clayton told us, that he will not be traded, he who say he won't be traded. Others say he'll be traded in 2 years. He'll have another by the Apple Seattle, and then next year he'll go someplace else. Would you want Pace and Nagy to be on that chase in 2 years, or do you want a fresh set of eyes? Someone that you say, boy, you know, these guys now, president operations or another GM, those guys know how to get it done. Whoever it is. Do you want a fresh set of eyes, or do you want those two to go after Watson or Russell Wilson again?
If they strike out this offseason and it's Nick Foles, Teddy Bridgewater, like somebody who just proved they're not good enough.
See, that's more and more likely.
Then I'm all in on making full-scale changes. I agree with Waddle when he said, if you brought these guys back, you got to let them do their job.
All right.
You can't go, well, me and Ted don't think you should give that much. No. Then you should have fired those guys and brought in somebody else.
See, the quarterbacks you mentioned, those guys can get you to the playoffs if you're blessed with good health. You're good enough to get to the playoffs, like Robinson coming back and healthy Cohen, figuring out the offensive line. You can get to the playoffs. In this NFC, because we looked at this very closely. We looked very closely at the NFC and say, why can't the Bears be a top six team in the NFC?
They can.
Okay, so but you can get there with mediocre quarterback play. And so where's the value? Is the value of getting that quarterback for the long haul or getting to the playoffs again? Because they kept putting in our face, you know, the Bears have been into the playoffs 2 out of 3 years and we're good. And like, well, that's fine. That's one rung on the ladder, though. You're still not Tampa.
You're not Seattle. You're not the Packers. So how do you get there? You get there with good quarterback play and sound offense.
Okay, so the question then is, Mr. Orlovsky, if the Bears pull this off, how does Russell Wilson fit into the Matt Nagy system?
It's okay. It's not a great fit. You know, Matt Nagy's system is the one that he learned from Andy Reid, and that was kind of thrived or really started to thrive in Kansas City under Alex Smith. And both Alex and Russell are athletic. Russell is significantly more athletic. Listen, football-wise, it's not a great fit. Football-wise, because it key for me, it's never should they fit. It's always can they excel. This is a poor offensive line. And if they don't keep Allen Robinson, it's a poor skill group on the outside or a subpar skill group on the outside. So it's not the best football fit. Now, you would imagine that Matt Nagy would be able to evolve and adjust and go, okay, we need to utilize more play action. If anyone's ever heard me talk over the last 2 years, I was pounding the table and begging for them to use more play action pass with Mitchell Trubisky because it allows his athleticism to be a little bit more of a part of the play. So they'd have to do that a little bit more. Russell doesn't excel in the quick game because the vision, you know, the reality is he doesn't, the inability to see quickly with some of the offensive line holes and the height difference. So that's a big part of their offense is catch and throw and catch and throw with that West Coast type of philosophy. And so football wise, just on the surface, football wise, it's not the ideal fit for a quarterback to go play there. No.
Hold on a second. Wait a second. So if Russell Wilson played for Kansas City under Andy Reid, it wouldn't be a good fit because that's ultimately the offense that we're seeing, that type of playbook.
That's what he's just saying. And I'm like, hold on a second now. And I like Dan a lot. Should talk to him this week because Russell Wilson's going to the Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah.
Mallor?
Yes.
Okay. We haven't had a decent quarterback. I'm talking about more than a one-off year. Sid effing Luckman.
Right.
There's a Hall of Fame quarterback who's 32. He's not 42. He's 32.
Mm-hmm.
That says, I want to go to the Bears. I can have a lot of input on what we do. I want to do what Tom did in Tampa and put my thing together. I'll go to Chicago. It's a great platform for my wife and I, for our social agenda. I don't mean hanging out. I mean they're trying to work on some very important things.
Sure.
She's an entertainer. The Chicago market intrigues her. In. Get it done. Let's get there. And it won't fit our system? Then our system is irretrievably broken, if that statement that Dan made is accurate.
I just don't understand. If Russell Wilson comes in today, and this is the issue we talked about also with Matt Nagy, are you so stuck into your system that you won't let anyone else flourish and have an idea and then put in the playbook?
I don't believe that.
If that's the case, then it's like, well,
then you're beaten before it starts.
Well, right. If that's the case, like Russell Wilson walks into Lake Forest and you know what Russell Wilson does best. That's a situation where if you're Matt Nagy, you say, what can we do to make you comfortable?
That's what Bruce Arians did.
Freaking sir.
What did Bruce Arians say? I really didn't do a lot. I got out of the way. That guy.
Well, he was drinking. So he didn't have time. He was drinking Crown Royal.
And he admitted that.
Yes, he was just drinking. But, I mean, are you telling me that if Matt Nagy sees Russell Wilson, says, you're a Chicago Bear, well, you know, look, this is how we do things, pal. This is how. Wait a minute. You can have maybe this much of the playbook. Maybe get that much of what Nagy does. And if Russell Wilson didn't like that, you tear up that page of the playbook. And if you don't like that, you make sure that that guy is comfortable.
Once you make that trade, once you make that deal, you basically sit down with him and go, okay, Russ, what do you like to run? Tell me what works. I'll give you my feedback. And then let's put a system together we can both live with. Otherwise, what in the H are we doing?
Then what's Orlovsky talking about, Mallor? What's he saying? Like, he says that, well, that's not a great fit. Are you saying that Nagy's so long into the profession that he has a playbook that you can't break? A system he can't? Are you serious?
Yeah, I don't want to make us late. We can get into it.
All right, we'll get into that. And have the Seahawks already forgotten about Russell Wilson? Could that be a tip that maybe he truly is available?
What are we doing here?
Danny did some sleuth work. Check it out. Next.
Who?
Take that.
Scratch your morning sports itch. This is Cap and Jay Hood, our new morning show.
On ESPN 1000 and the new ESPN Chicago app.
Rolling on, Cap Jay Hood with Meller, Zetterman, Strauss. We are your morning team here every weekday, 7 until 10. Download the Cap Jay Hood podcast. And please tell all your friends and relatives and neighbors that we would like them to download Cap Jay Hood podcast, the Under the Hood basketball / wrestling podcast.
Wait a minute now.
And the Armchair Nutritionist podcast.
Yes. Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday.
I watched wrestling Friday night. I sent you a screenshot. I was in my hotel after finishing basketball, and I was watching pro wrestling, and I enjoyed it.
That's surprising for someone who doesn't like that very much.
I enjoyed it.
I was like, is that a
video? I'm back in.
Is that Bruce? No, it's Cap.
I'm back in.
I can't believe this. You're watching Friday Night SmackDown after your basketball, because there was nothing really else on. And so you
and I was stuck in the middle of nowhere.
So there he is in Stamford, Connecticut. And I know that Vince McMahon's actually down the street from you, know.
Yeah.
He's on Main Street. That's where the WWE headquarters are. So you had to be happy. Ah, damn it, pal. You're watching my product. You're back in.
I'm back in. It was fun. I enjoyed it.
So that's great, man. So you're watching that. So you're back in.
Back in.
You thought I was ribbing you because, you know, sometimes I rib you. But I'm not ribbing you. When we get to WrestleMania season, which is about 30 days or so, you can bet on WrestleMania.
I will be.
That's for real.
I will be. I'll be calling you. Dude, this match is about to go off. What do I do?
No, so I'll lead you through on who's going to win and who's going to lose there. So it's so great. You're back into wrestling.
Back in.
I think that should, Hoodie, be a 10 to 15 minute podcast. The Hoodie Wrestling Podcast, where Cap bounces some wrestling futures off of you, and you give him some guidance.
I'd be glad to help him out with that. I could tell you who's going to win or lose in the WWE. That's pretty easy.
It's very funny to watch. I enjoyed it. Anyway, so the Seahawks, as you know, George always writes letters to fans, and he writes a letter to all the season ticket holders. I have a letter.
Dear George.
Oh, go F yourself.
Go F yourself and sell the team. Well,
Bill,
thank you. I have a letter here. How about this?
We're working on it.
Take that, Rooney. How about that? Take that, Mara. I respond with a pen and a postcard. Dear Bear Fan Bill.
So weird.
Just want you to know, thanks for being a Bears fan. I'm going to hold on to the team. Signed, George. Bear down. Put a stamp on it, and I send it out. So, what else is going on? Will we have an apple pie on the windowsill today, Aunt B? Because everything's fine.
Can you imagine if somebody wrote to Danny being the executive producer, Danny got a letter, you're awful, I hate that show. Like, Danny would go, he goes back at people. Danny would not take a postcard and go, I just appreciate you listening. Thank you, Danny Zetterman.
Go Bears.
Go Bears.
No.
Danny. I mean.
Now, there's more. Actually, now, the old Danny would go find him. He'd find
him. Yeah, the muscled-up dude for the 06 Super Bowl run.
That guy.
I showed
tough.
My wife that picture. She's like, that can't be Danny. Look how big he is.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's Danny.
Yeah. Man, that guy would find him. He'd track him down or find someone to do it.
Yeah, right.
But now, this is peace and love, Danny. Family, Danny. He'd understand. Like, oh, this is a troll. Peace and love. It's no problem. Let's smoke.
I think letter writing in some ways is a trope. It's nostalgic, and people like to say, oh, when you get a handwritten letter, look at how, you know, it shows the person took the time. But also there's an aspect of me that says, you know what? It's a lot of waste of time. We can email things pretty quickly these days. You don't have to sit down and, you know.
I disagree with you if it's a thank you note. If it's a, like if Meller or Danny, or you did something for me, or JR, like, out of the norm, like, whoa, that was awesome. I think a handwritten note that you mail to someone, like, hey, man, I really appreciated what you did for me. I think that's really cool. When you're responding like that, you got an email, freaking hit reply. I get it.
Yeah. Is he responding to a handwritten letter to him, or was it emailed to him? Like, why is it the person who writes a letter to George McCaskey is higher up on the food chain than the person who's emailing him?
See? You know why? Because I run my business like it's 1965. That's why.
Right.
That's why we only have a head coach and a GM in place and no one else in the room.
That's exactly correct.
Well, Ryan and Matt are our football guys.
This Nagy guy.
Waddle, you weren't very good when you first started broadcasting, and look at you now. You're the big cheese. What?
That's why George doesn't have any football contacts. He's spending too much time writing letters.
Right.
It takes a long time to write a letter. If your penmanship is good, it takes a lot longer than typing out an email.
Well, speaking of letters, it's already been put out there for the Seattle Seahawks when it comes to their season ticket holders. Danny, what information do you have there as far as how the Seahawks are looking at Russell Wilson for the future?
Well, I would assume, Danny, that the letter starts, Russ is going nowhere. We love him.
So Chuck Arnold, he's the president of the Seattle Seahawks. Mm-hmm. He does what all presidents do around this time of the year. He sent a letter to Seahawks season ticket holders. I'm not going to read you the whole thing. It's six paragraphs long. It's very, very wordy about how they dealt with COVID.
Was it typed, Danny?
It was typed, okay. Yes. He did sign his name. I don't know if he signed each letter individually or they just printed that off, but that's the only part that's got handwriting on it. So it talks about how, you know, they handled the pandemic, about how the community faced challenges, blah, 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 blah. Then there's this paragraph. On the field, we are proud to have won 12-plus games for the fifth time in franchise history and capture our 11th NFC West Championship, all while scoring a team record 459 points. We witnessed incredible individual feats, including single-season receiving records by DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. Blah, blah, blah. Those are two players mentioned. Then it goes on and said, we had a franchise record of seven players being named to the 2020 Pro Bowl roster. They don't name those players. Then it goes on to talk about Pete Carroll and the additions to his staff. At no point is the name Russell Wilson found on this six-paragraph, full-page letter to season ticket holders.
How about that?
They're moving on.
Why would you not mention him? Like, I guarantee the Chiefs season ticket holder mentions Patrick Mahomes. I guarantee the Green Bay one mentions Aaron Rodgers. I'm sure the Steelers, now that they've re-signed Big Ben, their letter's going out today mentioning Ben Roethlisberger. They're not mentioning Russell Wilson. They're mentioning DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, who had great years, but they're no franchise quarterback. Mentioning Pete Carroll.
Pretty amazing what you said there.
It mentions the new offensive coordinator by name Shane Waldron, and it mentions the new run game coordinator Andy Dickerson, both by name, but no Russell Wilson by name.
You know what's really interesting is you mentioned that they give you Metcalf and Lockett's numbers. Russell Wilson set the single season touchdown record, passing touchdown record for the Seahawks this year, breaking his own record, but it was the first time he had ever thrown 40 in a season. He did that this year. Very easily could have worked that in with the DK Metcalf Lockett stats.
I just don't understand. What happened there? What happened? You know, once we're on the other side of this pandemic, it's going to be, once again, one of the best home field advantages of the National Football League in Seattle. And because of that, that's because you're winning. People are coming to the stadium to see you win. They come to see Russell Wilson play quarterback. What happened there? Do you really want to unplug that because of egos on either side? Do you really want to unplug that? Do you really want to go backwards as a franchise? If nothing else about Seattle, they're always in the mix. Mm-hmm. They may not win the Super Bowl every year, but at least they're in the mix. Cap, why? I just don't understand.
Okay, they just locked Pete Carroll up on an extension. He's 69 years of age.
Nice.
Pardon me?
Go ahead.
Yeah, he is making a fortune of money. He also runs the entire organization because when Paul Allen, the owner, died, he left the team to his sister, and she went, I don't know anything about football. It's all you, Pete. I'll be in the skybox enjoying myself with my friends. Maybe Pete says, look, we lost at home to the Rams, who had a banged-up quarterback and a backup, and we're going to rebuild this thing. We have no pick. We have one pick in the top 125. We don't have our number one pick next year because of the Jamal Adams deal. So guess what? I am moving on. I am clearing cap space. It's a multi-year process. I got an extension. I've already won here. Take that.
It's not good business sense. Part of your legacy is winning with Russell Wilson.
Is there any chance that Russ isn't what we think he is? Is there any chance? Because the day Cutler arrived here, 99.9% of the city went, game on, we got a franchise quarterback, it's about time, and he turned out to be a complete mirage.
All I see is the one loss record, and I see the wins and the division championships. He was part of that. That's all I see.
Maybe it's not a slight on Russell Wilson at all. Maybe Pete Carroll's just thinking, you know, this is the old Yurko theory. He said years and years and years ago that the Blackhawks should have traded Patrick Kane when his stock was the highest. He said Devin Hester should have been traded when his stock was the highest. Maybe Pete Carroll's just thinking ahead, saying, all right, we can trade Russell Wilson now and get a treasure trove back and rebuild this thing for a sustained run with a quarterback, not a $30-plus million cap hit. Maybe that's what he's thinking.
Maybe.
Let's trade him now while we can get whatever we want, while this NFL quarterback carousel is as crazy as it's ever been. Let's get something back and rebuild so we can win a Super Bowl or two.
Cap, you brought that up, and I was thinking that over the weekend. Is not that what if he isn't what we think he is, but what if at 32 years old and after accomplishing everything that he's accomplished, his ego is bigger now, and he's sick and tired of playing second fiddle in Seattle to Pete Carroll and whatever, you know, whatever the OC wants to call. And he wants to be the quarterback who is talked about with Brady and Mahomes and, you know, Deshaun Watson, and that's it. And he feels slighted, and now he's at a stage in his career where he's like, you know what? We've grown apart. Like, I think that's certainly possible. You still, if you're the Bears, you can't let that get in the way of anything.
But the divorce, why does the divorce have to be so bitter? You know what I'm saying, like, when Big Ben's done with Pittsburgh after this upcoming season, then you can understand it's just going to be a separation. But just why has it got to be like that? You don't even mention.
How does it get to this level?
You don't mention the man's name. Come on.
Yeah, and they put out some type of a video.
Come on, man.
About some of the things in the organization, and Russ wasn't in that either. He's the freaking face of your franchise.
I just don't understand. Again, this could be anyone's game. Maybe it's the Bears' game for the future, Cap. I'm just telling you. It's like, I don't understand how business just comes apart like that. The egos, the massive egos. Well, our success is based on Pete Carroll. No, it's based on Russ. It's everybody. Everybody gets a piece of the pie when you win. Also, you get the piece of the pie when you lose, too. Everyone deserves the blame then, too. But the idea, just like, you're setting this guy to the side like he's nobody. Yeah, so because it's so automatic to just draft a guy and all of a sudden you're a Super Bowl champion. It's not that easy.
All right, all of your calls, Bob and Lewis and Harding and Steve and the rest of you, 312-332-3776. Chuck Garfine will join us from Arizona, get us caught up on the White Sox at 9. Your calls straight ahead.
Cap, Jay Hood.
Our new morning show.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
All right, right to the phones we go. 312-332-3776. We'll start with Steven Wheeling. He's a Seahawks fan. Hey, Steve, what's up, Sparkles?
What's going on, gentlemen? How you doing today?
How are you?
Good. So I've called before, and I don't know if you remember, I'm a huge Seahawks fan.
Yes.
And I've heard that Danny was making up a good point on him not being in those Seahawks promotions for the season. And I don't know if you guys remember, a couple years ago, there was rumblings before he signed the big contract, Russell Wilson, that is, that his wife wanted to go to a bigger market. And what's that saying? Happy life, happy wife, happy life. I'm thinking his time in Seattle might be done. The first draw was getting Sierra into a bigger market for herself, possibly. And now with him walking out of that one meeting because he's not getting the say he wants to in the offense, I'm not sure with the offensive coordinator. I think it's an upgrade with the offensive coordinator. But him not getting the say in the offense and being that vocal person in that team, you want to call it, I think it's time he's going to go. And I'm a Seahawks fan. I want him to stay, but it hurts me to say this, but I think it's time he's done. And then what Danny was saying earlier today, that kind of like is the nail on a coffin for that, in my opinion.
But you can't see him go unless there's a plan, Steve. That's the whole thing. Like, you could want Russell Wilson to go to a different team, but you can't start from the bottom. You won't be drafting high to get a quarterback. Maybe you're in the mix for a veteran quarterback, but that still does not help you for the long haul. Russell Wilson is a Seahawks. It just is. It's just like
face of the franchise.
You got no plan.
No plan. Let's squeeze a couple more in. Lewis, what's up, man?
Good morning, David Kaplan. Good morning, Dr. Mouthy Hood. Good morning, Jay Hood. How's it going, fellas?
We're good, man.
All three of us are fine, thank you.
Yeah, the reason why I brought all three of you guys up is because, Jay Hood, I need that doctor, too. And when it comes to this Bears team, I don't know if he's a sports counselor, too, but sure. I need him. But anyway.
How about that, Danny? The doctor's in. He needs my help, Lewis. How about that?
I smell side business.
You make a lot of extra cash, kid.
So, anyways, I'm listening to a lot of professionals. You know, I love listening to sports talk and watching TV. I hear Cap saying, you know, asking the same question, if are the Bears really going to make a splash? My thing is, I was listening to Tom Waddle as well, and everything that we have to offer is the equivalent, to me, of a Ford Focus. Now, I'm not saying a Ford Focus is a bad car. I'm just saying it's not an expensive car. It's a car that can get you to point A to point B. But everyone else, when they put their packages together, is their equivalent of a Lamborghini. Well, how are the Bears, my question to you is, how are the Bears supposed to make a splash when we don't have anything to offer? Like, how are we going to convince teams to take what we have to offer to get a Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson?
Well,
because I'm confused.
Lewis,
so I'll hang up and listen. Appreciate you guys. Have a good one.
You too. Have a good week. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. They may look and go, we'll take Cody Whitehair. We'll take those two number ones. We'll take that number two and throw in Jalen Johnson. He doesn't make a lot of money, and we like him as a good young corner. There's enough there. I just don't know if the Bears are prepared to go to that level, although people around there are telling me all in. Let's get Harding. Hey, Harding, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? So for the longest in the franchise, I said they have a lack of egotistical accountability, right? So if they make this trade and they don't go on their version of Windows 98 and change the playbook title from Andy Reid's knockoff playbook to Russell Wilson playbook, there is a serious problem in that franchise. If you really think about what's going on and what they've Russell has done twice what the Bears have failed to do within the last 50 years, right? Talking about appearance in Super Bowls. There is a complete problem if we're talking now about fit for a nearly Hall of Fame quarterback. That is insane. I'll talk to you guys later.
Thank you, my friend.
Appreciate it.
Good point.
Absolutely. A very valid point. All right. Chuck Garfine is in Arizona, living in the lap of luxury and beautiful weather. He will regale us with what's going on at White Sox camp. That comes up in 2 minutes.